Noticing where your hands and feet are. And just for a few moments, if you wish, experiencing the aliveness in the hands and feet. And before we go into our stillness, feeling where the hands would like to be, on or off the body, facing up or down, touching each other. So one suggestion that can be surprisingly helpful for meditation, for not only calming the system and the mind, but also getting in touch with the potential qualities in a human being that support awakening. So just holding a finger, any finger is one suggestion, of either hand in any way. If you're sitting cross-legged or lying on your side, then having the hands on the inner or outer knees is another suggestion. If you're lying on your front or your back, the hands on the hips can be good. Usual but simple position would be keeping one hand on the hip. So for example, right hand on the right hip and the left hand on the right shoulder. Sitting up or lying on your back. And you may prefer to play with that outside of the hall to see if it's comfortable enough for a whole meditation. For a few moments, if you wish, feeling the qualities in the mind as the in-breath comes in. Is there anything noticeable in your inner atmosphere as in-breath happens by itself? And we can also notice in-breath happening by itself. Maybe something noticeable in the mind with the in-breath. And then with the fact of paying attention to the mind with the in-breath, is there any shift in the body? So we can notice how it is that we're paying attention. In what way, how am I paying attention to the mind during the out-breath? And does that bring tension in the body or openness in the body? What would be a really sustainable way that we could dive into now and not come back out? It could be a really sustainable way through the whole day and night. Is it if we let the breath drop lower in the body? Let the neck get long. If we leave room to notice how the contact with the ground is, with gentle kind of caring, how's the body? This that we call body. Stream of sensation that we tie together with image and memory, letting it be untied. with friendliness and kind of childlike, but a little bit naughty child. How's the mind? How's the thinking? What is that? The stream of thinking is a stream of what? So a little bit mischievous, receiving thinking. It's happening by itself. It comes from somewhere that we don't know and is gone. Who made it? Are there any of these thoughts that are going through? New thoughts? Or are they all thoughts that someone has already thought? And we can also open to receive how it feels in the body. With this particular stream of thinking that happens now. How it affects the mood. How the mood affects the thoughts. And then especially also noticing how, when I try to notice how the thoughts feel in the body, what does that trying do? When I try to notice, how does the trying feel in the body and in the mind? Sometimes the trying can bring tension to the shoulders and the face, etc. A dryness to the mind. And it's not sustainable. It couldn't go on for long. And how is it in the heart? Today, now. A lot of space for all of the life of the heart. And just feeling anything that could be in one's heart. Anything. Is shared. Other people also feel that. As we try to leave space for everything in the heart, how is the trying for the body, for the head, for the heart? And so today we can play with feeling if it's possible to connect without trying. Or to open and trust, our love of life that's interested. How we already receive everything. And what happens if we rest, feel the back, feel the aliveness in the body and the mind. Notice that already something in us receives everything in our experience. The already awareness is already aware. Bright, precise, not adding, not heavy, not hard to do. That I'm thinking. I'm thinking. Oh, I have been thinking. I've been thinking for the whole time since the instruction started. So what in you knows that you were thinking before you noticed that you were thinking? So that already awareness. We realize that we feel angry or scared, or dull, or whatever. It comes to be felt consciously, but already it was received. So playing with relaxing, opening, receiving experience. And enjoying how we can really feel a lot of the subtle sensations, the subtle change in atmosphere with in-breath or out-breath. But from a place of receiving, letting go, and allowing the living quality in your self to meet the living quality in the experience. Relaxing and enjoying the living quality in yourself. And even when not relaxation is there, the living quality in yourself that can feel the living quality in not relaxation. Intention. We all also then are leaving space to explore what doesn't grab our attention. So not only going to what hurts, not only going to what hurts, leaving more space to feel the subtle, just for fun, for no reason. Leaving room to feel that there's room, leaving space, for life. And just whenever you notice yourself not being yourself, make some shift in what you're doing so that there's more room for you to be here as you are, please. Anyone? Anyone have a question?
Mm-hmm. So far, every time you give the instructions, I either asleep or half asleep. So I don't hear or don't remember. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if you could repeat it shortly, just what to do. So now that I'm awake, I know what to do.
Okay. So she says, so far when I've given instructions, she's been asleep or half asleep. So if I can talk to her awake. But that's the secret, is I speak to your non-awake. So it's actually true that a lot can go in when you're half awake, that can't go in when you're all the way awake, and that's important. But I will also try to summarize. And maybe while we're on the word awake, in case that's still, you're still wondering, aren't we here for awakening? And I'm still sleeping on day 5 or whatever it is. what we now know as awake usually contains a lot of tension and anxiety, in the sense of like a deep anxiety. So you might not feel like an anxious person, but there's usually a deep anxiety. I call it like the emergency system is on, so over alertness. And to find a way for that over alertness to calm down and leave room for a human being. Responsiveness and receptivity, which what it feels like is a softness that we think we can't trust, and we think, because we think we'll be weak, because we're not, our defenses are not up. But what happens when we allow this softness, which is not a mushy softness, it's a softness that is unafraid, and I think a good image would be, like, do you know Dr. Seuss? They have the trees, the Dr. Seuss trees, and some kind of fluffy flower, but it's very alive, and it's so radiant, you can say. That allows what to the mind is unbelievable strength and powers of mind to come through, including like the 7 faculties that allow, the factors that allow awakening to happen. So the basic practice is playing with, is it possible for there to be more softness? And what is afraid to go to be soft, in that radiant soft, not like mushy soft, not giving up soft. Okay. And what's afraid is hurt, so letting the hurt be felt and let life meet that hurt. But as a main practice, noticing that as there's starts to be a natural softness happening through resting, as we play with kind of encouraging softness, defenses down, we don't explode or fall apart, or like life continues and we're actually more present for it. So that's the basic approach. And what I tend to talk about is contact with the ground. And that can be enough. So people call this approach as if there's no technique, but there have been probably around 100 techniques offered so far. So contact with the ground is a technique. And then sometimes feet. This could be a way of arriving. Contact with the ground. Feeling that you have feet. Or being in the feet. Letting the breath drop down out of up to down. Letting the neck get long. These are all ways that help the emergency alarm system just naturally go off. And any of those one could be enough. So the fact that I give many isn't to get you really busy and do many. Okay, feet, breath down, long, long, would already be a lot. So out of those, so neck, long, feet, breath dropped, contact, where feels ease or alive, where are you drawn to? So out of those, that could be one way to feel your way. Then we could leave room for sounds, receiving sounds maybe into the belly or letting sounds come through, noticing that there's sound and we've already heard it and it's already gone, so it comes and goes in one instant. And something was there to hear that, or there to let it be heard. Really precise, really as it was, as it is, and really gone. So there's no occupation with that sound that's already gone in that really clear, precise, original hearing. Then the mind will say, oh, that's a bird, and it's that kind of bird, and I think, and or is it, or whatever, and then I remember that other bird, and so on. Or I like that bird, or I don't like that bird. And then we go, oh, right, I heard a bird. So we're playing with leaving room for that first really quick, precise, alive, light, uninvolved, receiving, the already aware. And we're also, from there, interested in everything that happens. So isn't it curious that there's a contraction away from the sound of the bird in the body? And then, oh, it's that kind of bird, and we start thinking about our mother or whatever. And then we go, oh, that was a bird sound. I'm listening, right? And so we find that our ability to pay attention kind of comes last. It's the slowest in the group, in the mind. And so we can let it be slow, but we've also got this other quick natural that we don't have to, this effortless, already aware. And as with sounds, similarly with the body, we can then, there's still sound, there's space around the body, there's the whole body, there's the out-breath. Right? And there's, if you like, there's lower belly. And then we say, oh yeah, there's a lot of thinking. And by the way, what is a thought? And where does it come from? And where does it go? By the way, what is a thought? Like, we get all upset that we have so much thinking, and we leave room for, by the way, what is it? And whose? And where did it go? And how did it freak me out so much? Etc. Like, the power of it and the nothingness of it, and the not-mine-ness of it. Well, we will sometimes think about our thinking, which is just more thinking. It will happen. But it's not, we don't need to practice that. We've already practiced that. So what's interesting is that thinking comes out of nowhere and it is gone. And still, also it's interesting that it has such an effect. So sometimes with thinking, we notice it's a powerful thought. There's a big effect. And we might then feel that it goes with the emotion. Or we might just go straight to, why does it affect? Where does that effect affect? What's the point? Where's the point that it really gets? And that's where we can feel the maybe sore spot, vulnerability, softness, deep okayness. And of course it's messy, then I'm explaining, but it's messy, which is good. And then, oh yeah, emotion, mood, inner atmosphere, I can feel that. How is it that I can feel that? Who is feeling that? And what is that? And what does it feel like also? So there's room for all the forms of wonder. We'll talk about this ongoing discovery, the mode of ongoing discovery. And it starts by realizing, by being in touch, that we don't know. We don't know what an emotion is or where it comes from or where it belongs and whose it is, and but we can feel it. And most of the time, I would recommend kind of arriving, feeling the body, and staying there if that feels restful and easeful, and letting everything else take place. But enjoying how the body happens by itself. And in the background, meanwhile, it's also interesting how the mind goes on by itself, the emotions go on by itself, but coming gently back to the lower belly, or your place, your home place, and staying more often, what happens. Okay, and then we leave room for what else is in my experience. There's sound, and there's body, and there's space around the body, there's contact with the ground, there's thinking, there's emotion, and what else? And we leave room. Because it's really important, two things. We don't want to be further practicing that always I have to have something to pay attention to know that I'm here. Normally, our normal mode will be, if I'm paying attention to something, I know I'm here. And that's fine, but that's not all. So we want to practice leaving space. Practice leaving space. So whatever little amount of contact with belly or out-breath or ground, and more space for space, for I don't know, for let's find out, but receiving it rather than going to get it. And especially, so it's like the second important point that goes together with noticing how much we would always like to have something to pay attention to. We want an occupation always. Not that we want, but our system is prepared and addicted to have an occupation. And so this is where deep breath retreat is much more challenging than so-called regular retreat, where you're asked to always have an object, usually, until the last day, and then they say, okay, now, choiceless awareness, whatever comes. But here we're saying, from the beginning, notice the tendency, the addiction to having an object, to pay attention to something, to always be, I confirm my existence by feeling my belly. I confirm my existence by having a problem, or whatever. So, that's what I'm calling occupation. And our occupation tends to usually be around the negativity. And this is the second important point, the addiction to negativity, where not that we want to be, but this any small reminder of any of our many pains will usually bring all of it so easily. And so that's fine. That's how it is. So what do we need to practice? Is not always going to the negativity and noticing that any little scratch will bring the whole thing. Okay, that works like that. So I need to practice feeling what I can barely feel, that I haven't practiced feeling, and also that is also intrinsically, like by nature, harder to feel. It's more subtle. So more subtle than fear is love. Or the kind of joy that comes for no reason. So a kind of happiness or excitement that comes for a reason is easier to feel than a kind of happiness or joy or pleasure that just comes. And so it's by its nature harder to feel, and we're not practiced at feeling it. So we practice. And the hand positions that I mentioned at the beginning, did you hear that part? Hold a finger, put your hands on your hips, inner knees, or just a second, this one. Can help. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.